Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. That is Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Joining me today in the studio are local adoptive parents, Pastor Rick and Heather Hanna. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So a couple of years ago, we did this, right? We did this. You shared your story on this show. You have three biological children that are grown and three children adopted from Korea who are now presently, one is 13 and two are 11,
yes.
Just to make it a little tricky there. They were adopted in three separate international adoptions, and that's really what our last conversation was about. But in February of 2017, you met a very precious treasure who would become your daughter, Carissa. How would we pronounce her middle name?
Noelani.
Carissa Noelani. So share with us about your journey to bring Carissa home.
Well, I'll begin and let Heather fill in some details. But we had considered after 2008 various other opportunities to adopt. We pursued these various ways, but God kept closing the door. And so we just kept praying. We thought maybe at some point when our kids were grown, a little bit older, that we would consider foster care. And we got in touch with your foster care conference back in May of 2016 and just thought, well, let's go and let's find out. We're new to New York. Let's find out a little bit about foster care. And we came away from that meeting convinced that God may have a different plan for us than foster care. We heard the testimony of a local pastor who had adopted. And unbeknownst to both of us, that was the story that resonated with both of us at that conference. And we talked about that on the drive home and just started investigating that a little further.
Yeah, I think what was amazing is it was one of those God moments where we went into the conference with an open heart, but we were really surprised when we came away. And this testimony of a family that adopted through a local crisis pregnancy center is the one that really resonated with us. And we felt like for some reason at that time that despite the odds, you know, having already a large family and being a little bit older, that we really felt like God wanted us at that time to pursue a domestic adoption. And looking back, you can count the months backwards, but that was about 9 months before Carissa was born. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we just felt like that's where God was leading.
Wow. So she could have very well been being knit together in her mother's womb at the time of that conference, and the Lord was putting that on your heart.
I really felt sitting there as if God was showing us that, you know, He was a God who is able to overcome the obstacles I could put up, the excuses in my heart and my head to say, there is no way that a family like ours would be chosen for an infant. But I just felt like maybe we had something to offer just the way we were, the way God had designed us to be, that would be the right fit. And right then, it was a real step of faith for us.
Yeah. So you took that step of faith, though, and you connected with an adoption agency here in New York and started the paperwork. And you were in that process. You weren't even 100% done with the process, correct?
Kind of, yeah. We started the journey, and it did take several months, as adoptions do, and going through our home study and all of those things. And it got to be about January. We were pretty much done all of our meetings. All the legal things had been done. But the final step was to prepare a scrapbook for a potential birth parent. And I remember really struggling through that process and trying to figure out, why can't I get this done? And then one week, the Lord just gave me strength. And I literally sat down and did this scrapbook in its rough form and submitted it to our agency. And that was, I think, a Friday that it arrived at the agency. And we were kind of under the impression, and maybe Rick can add to this too, but that it could take us months, years, perhaps, before we would receive a call. But he and I had an interesting conversation during that week when we were doing the scrapbook.
Yeah, we were anticipating, as Heather said, it could be years. We had thought, okay, we have some time to get ourself ready for this, and then we were on, I believe it was a Thursday night, we were out and we were just talking about, I wonder if there might be a child that might come through our agency that no other family felt that they could take, that might be a child that would be just suited for us. And so we talked about that and we agreed that we would call our agency the next day and just inform them of that, that we felt God was putting that burden on our heart. And I think, you know, again, I think that was on a Thursday, and within a week or even less than a week, we got the call that was the call for Carissa.
Tell us about that call.
Well, you know, being a type A personality, I was convinced I had done some of the paperwork wrong or that something was terribly wrong with the scrapbook and it wasn't up to their expectations. And so that Monday morning on February 6th, when I received a call, our caseworker began saying, there is a situation I want to present to you. And it took a while for my mind to just really get around what was happening in this moment, because this is such a God moment. But even through tears now, I'll think about it. But all I remember hearing is there's a baby girl and she's very sick and there is no other family for her. And she lived 4 hours away, so it would involve uprooting everything and me possibly moving there for an undetermined amount of time. This baby was born with no prenatal care. She was born with several of her organs outside of her body. Mm. And she wasn't in great condition, but they felt very hopeful for her. She had had multiple surgeries already. And to be honest, I scribbled all of that information down, everything from the medicine she was on and all the medical terminology and everything. But in my heart, all I heard is, baby girl, she is without parents. And I honestly went to Rick's office in our house and I sat down with him and began sobbing. And I said, I can't even explain to you. Here, look at this paper. This is what's going on. And I honestly thought, there's no way. We were not expecting this. He will just say, Heather, I think this really is too quick. This is too much. But in this process, Rick has been the one, we've reversed roles this adoption, where he's always been the one saying, no, you know, let's keep the faith. Let's keep believing God is leading us to something. And so his response did surprise me.
Well, one of the things when we started talking about adopting again after the conference, one of my specific prayers to God was that God help me not to be the typical dad, because I'm sure you've interviewed many here who say, oh, no, you know, we can't do this, And so that was my number one prayer in this, is that I would not respond like the typical father, husband, you know, where, oh, no, we can't do this. So many steps along the way in this, we started questioning, okay, is this the right time? Is this, all the details. And I kept coming back to God, this is what you've called us to do. And so when she came in, afterwards she told me, I was expecting you to say no. You know, when she came in and showed me the paper and she was sobbing and said, I don't know if we can do it. I remember we prayed and we asked God to lead us and show us, and this is our baby, and we need to go pursue her. And I said, I don't know what the medical things are. I don't know what, but I looked at her and I said, you have a gift in research. You know, we have always said we will figure out what to do. We'll network, we'll study, and God will show us. Mm. And so in that moment, God just answered my prayer, that I didn't respond from any sense of doubt, but just knowing that God had led us and we can trust him.
Yeah, that big step of faith.
Yeah, and he just said, congratulations, and gave me a kiss, and I think took one of our other kids to an appointment. And there really wasn't any more discussion. It was like, this is all God. There's wow. Nothing else that we can attribute this to. Mm-hmm.
So now, Carissa was born what day? What's her birth date?
January 28th. So 28th. She was a few days old by then.
And she'd already had surgery.
Multiple.
Yes. Multiple surgeries. And here there's this little newborn baby enduring multiple surgeries without a mom and dad. Mm-hmm. But that changed very quickly because you went to meet her in the hospital. You took that four-hour drive. Tell us about meeting Carissa for the first time.
I had prayed that the Lord would help me see her and not her tubes. You know, we had had some experience with one of our other children having a medical emergency that was more short term. We knew this would be long term. And I just prayed. I said, God, I want to see this baby for who she is. Help me not to see all the medical things around her. She was the most beautiful baby. I wrapped her in a pink little heart blanket as it was the day before Valentine's Day. And I did. I saw her and for who she was. And I was amazed because she had been surrounded by a group of NICU nurses that, you know, when you look up on that board in NICU, it says who the parents are and it said the NICU nurses. And I was grateful. But, you know, that day it changed because on that day it said Rick and Heather are her parents. Wow. And I sat there holding her thinking, I cannot even fathom that this is possible. How is it possible that a baby can be this sick and have no mom and dad? And what an amazing thing to go from having no name. The nurses even picked out a name for her to call her by that until we came. But that day, she became Carissa Noelani, and she had parents. And it was kind of surreal, as most big events in life are.
I just remember the really, and gives a little bit of detail leading up to that that weekend. There was a huge snowstorm coming.
Yes, I remember that.
And so me being a pastor, I had Sunday lined up. Okay, you know, I need to preach, and then we're going to go. And then we saw this big snowstorm coming, so we convened our leadership team and said, it looks like it's going to be a big snowfall. Is it okay to cancel now? And so we, in about a 30-minute span, we made a decision. We're going to cancel the Sunday service. We're going to get the car loaded up, and we're going to get as far. Well, we had to go to Syracuse first and stop there and then make the rest of the trip the next day. And so we said, well, at least we can get to Syracuse, and we can navigate the rest of the way on Monday. And so all that happened. We even had to pick up. We had to make a connection with somebody in town. It looked like a backstreet drug deal, but it really wasn't. We were just getting some necessary supplies
and all these different things.
And so we got that taken care of, and we got on the road. And that morning, again, there was snow that we had to battle. And so we drove from Syracuse up to
to your daughter.
Yeah, to our daughter. in doing so, we got to the hospital, and we were waiting on all the paperwork to be signed, and different other people had to outrun snow to get there, and just waiting, and my heart was getting more anxious. I want to see my daughter, and then that time came where everything was signed, and we got to go escorted back to meet our daughter for the first time, and as I have with all three of my daughters, tears just flowed from me. But this is incredible that we get to we get to see our daughter, and it was just amazing. God gets the glory because it was all Him doing that and just working all the details. So,
well, I'm thankful for Facebook because I got to see pictures of that very, very special occasion, and just was so blessed because she's so precious. But Carissa is a medically fragile child. So tell us about the very difficult first year of being her parents.
Sure.
I think a lot of times you're just caught up in your love for her. So in some ways, so many of the things that we have done for her have just flowed out of our immense, immediate love and concern for her. So, but at the same time, there have been a lot of things that we've had to adjust to as a family. Her care, even today, is an all-in 24/7 care. We've had to learn how to run pumps and give medicines, and she has to be fed very often because of the way her digestive system works. I was afraid a lot in the beginning because I was overwhelmed getting used to navigating doctors and medical supply companies and the never-ending list of that, plus the burden of just trying to figure some things out. The doctors would give us as much guidance as they could, but it was really hard. We were afraid a lot, but we would sing and we would pray over her, and we would, even in the middle of the night, we would just ask God to give us hope, that our hope would be in Him, not in how this was going to turn out. We were grateful to bring her home at 2 months old. That's kind of soon considering her medical condition, but we were really committed to learning all that was needed. We joked and told the doctors, we'll get an honorary medical degree if that's what it takes to get our daughter home, because we know attachment and the love of a family makes a difference. Mm. And those who have watched her journey and seen her from this frail baby to being a little bit stronger now see that the hope of a family and the love of having your siblings around and having familiar faces every day, it makes a difference.
Yeah, and I think there is a lot of times, especially during the summer, where it was really difficult. Most of the people in our lives didn't realize how difficult it was. Yeah, you know, some folks at church said, oh, she's a sweet baby. We never see her cry. And so we'll come over to the house a little bit and you'll see. And it's not, you know, the normal things that, you know, we get used to, okay, you know, having to change a diaper, having to feed a baby, you know, and they cry. All of that is then taken to another level because you're wondering, is there something medically wrong that we need to be concerned about? And so through it, we did a lot of praying, a lot of crying, a lot of just pushing through, God giving us strength, and we just kept saying, oh, God's going to give us strength for today, and we can't worry too much about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. God's going to give us the strength for that. We do, you know, try and plan, and Heather is a researcher, and so she would research things and be able to find out answers, connect with other people who have similar things, and that was really huge. But it was a process, and it was a lot of weary nights from that.
Yeah. I think we also learned, you know, this concept of daily bread. We say we all want to live and believe in that. But there was a sense in which every morning we woke up kind of like without the resources, both in all different capacities, to be able to do the job that was given to us. And yet God had to be enough. You know, every day we had to pray that he would just send the right people, send the strength we needed, and do all of those things for us. I think we also learned that sometimes in life, you know, we viewed joyful times as the times without suffering. And we learned with Carissa that joy and suffering can go hand in hand. Mm. This baby would be in terrible, terrible pain all night long. And yet when she woke in the morning, she would greet you with a smile. Mm. And I think that we learned in that you can have joy in the midst of a really, really hard circumstance. And she is our tiny example that way. And so I guess we've learned to begin to embrace it. Some of it's becoming a little bit more normal now, but it still exists and it still is hard. But hard can be really good.
And I think there was a number of things we look at as God prepared us for this. We had another child go through some medical needs that were similar in terms of equipment that we got to learn. Also, you know, God's enabled me to be able to work from home. That's where my office is at the church. It's in the house. So I'm able to be there, and so God specifically placed us in a situation where that arrangement has been very, very helpful.
Mm. So I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan care ministry, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guests today in the studio with me are local adoptive parents, Pastor Rick and Heather Hanna. The Hannas have three grown biological children, three children adopted internationally, and one very precious medically fragile infant daughter adopted domestically. So, Pastor Rick and Heather, give us an update on Carissa's health now. She's a year old. Mm-hmm. How's she doing?
Well, I get that question a lot, you know, how she's doing. And it's always a difficult question to answer because she is in many ways, and I tell people, she's a miracle baby. She really is. The fact that all she's been through, that she's even with us, is a miracle. And the way that she has responded to the treatments, the way she has grown, the way she has been able to take food by mouth and those kinds of things, all of that's a miracle by God, and we're blessed by God's grace in her life. At the same time, there's a lot of medical needs that are going on, a lot of things that are lifelong issues for her that we need to deal with. She is on an IV 12 hours every night. We connect her to that. she has limited amounts of food that she can have, and so we have to monitor all that. I say Heather does most of that, and so I'll let her fill in some of those details. But she is doing well in many areas, but she has a lot of needs as well.
So what has God shown you over this past year?
I think something, a real big issue for me is this idea of control. You know, he is sovereign and he is good. He's writing a story in our lives. And for 8 years, I prayed for something in asking him to give us another child that at times just didn't look like it was going to happen. And then, you know, he gave me a planner, a baby out of the blue with no preparation. And yet he's shown me that he is good. And the story he's writing is his story, and it's a good story, and his timing is perfect, you know, in all of the things in our lives. He brought this child to us at the perfect time, and it didn't mean I had everything figured out. In fact, I'm pretty sure he allowed that so that I didn't have it all figured out, so that I might depend on him for that daily bread.
I would say the biggest thing I learned is what it really means to have faith in God, that faith, if we have the end figured out, and if we made the plan and have it all sorted out, that's not really faith. That's just good planning. Mm-hmm. Faith is where you take that step, that next step, not knowing where your foot is going to land, and God shows you and gives you that place to land your foot. And with Carissa, that's mm-hmm. been the case each step along the way, whether we were ever going to have a baby, and then once God gave us that baby, how was that baby going to survive? And so really walking by faith has been what God has taught me.
So as we wrap up, what is on your hearts that you want our listeners to hear?
I guess I want people to know that, you know, adoption is a powerful connection to the gospel. Carissa is the gospel on display. And every day, even today, I was reading in Romans, it talked about how we have not been given the spirit of slavery that we fall back into fear, but in the spirit of adoption, we cry out, mm-hmm. Abba, Father. And there's so many things that connect that to Carissa, to the day-to-day struggles, and yet the absolute joy, you know. God redeems hard things in our lives. Mm-hmm. He's always making beauty out of ashes. And I think that Carissa and her story has touched so many people through Facebook, through friends, doctors, nurses. There's many people watching this, and I am truly expecting God to do a miracle in her life so that he gets the glory, and so that people can see that God cares about the tiniest and most frail among us, that he is always watching over. And so I'm blessed to watch that and to be a part of it.
Yeah, I would say just from the standpoint of God has used a lot of people in our lives. A local friend who got us a pack and play in car seat at a moment's notice when we got the call and, okay, we don't have all this stuff. Perhaps there are people out there who are just, you know, they don't feel like they can participate in adoption in terms of bringing a child into the home. Our story is such that God used a number of people to encourage us along the way to be a part of that. To saying they were praying for us, to saying they were praying for Carissa, to this day, you know, hearing people that we didn't know were praying for her and are mm-hmm. just rejoicing to see how she's doing. God really does miracles. And I know that numerous times over this past year, I kept praying. Okay, God, I know you did a miracle. She is here. I'm asking you to do another miracle. Mm-hmm. And some of that was bringing her home. Some of that was getting through the summer, other aspects of her health. God is the God who does miracles. And my prayer for our story is that God would get the glory for this, that whatever story he's writing through Carissa, that would glorify him, lead others to understand the truth of the gospel, and yes, pursue adoption if God has put that call on your heart, mm-hmm. to not let the obstacles stand in the way. If God has put that call there, mm-hmm. to trust him, to take a risk and ask God to do a miracle through them as well.
Yeah, and like you said, not everybody may be called to actually bring a child into their mm-hmm. home or to become foster parents or adoptive parents, but there is a role for the entire body of Christ to play, and it's just a matter of figuring out, you know, what it is we can bring to the table. And you said people have helped you with gifting you with the pack and play in the car seat. What are some other needs that you have or that have been met by the body of Christ?
I think meals were and still are kind of, you know, some days you're just going from phone call to phone call, medical need to medical need. And those kinds of things are very wonderful because I view them as coming directly from God. Mm-hmm. And that person has to know that what you're doing is God's encouragement to me. Like, I see you. I see what's going on. There are so many things. It's a little bit isolating when you have a medically fragile child. And so you don't always have a way to communicate what you need. But I think just even hearing the words, I am praying for you today, means so much. Having that emotional support, those are the two things I think that have meant the most.
Meals and prayer. Those are the two most important
things. They are. Beyond sleep or beyond any of those other things. You know, there's only so much you can do if you're not right there, but those things matter.
Well, I would say in addition with that is as Heather said, those words that are communicated, I'm praying for you, or asking how those little things doesn't take very long, but it's very meaningful to
how you doing today.
Yeah. So
wonderful. So Pastor Rick and Heather, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. And you and Carissa and your family continue to be in our prayers.
Thank you.
And meals, I pray they continue to come your way. And we want to thank also our listeners for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows on our website at justicefororphansny.org and as our podcast now, which can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and on Podbean. Just search for the show by name, Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 by adoption, foster care, and wraparound support ministries for adoptive and foster families.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.